Once again, a lot of social media posts kind of firing up those in the ag industry. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Arlen Suderman joins us today with StoneX. And, you know, Arlen, I think you and I've had this conversation numerous times over the past couple of weeks of trying not to play on those headlines we see. But the ones today definitely has got those in the cattle industry fired up and comments. And that was the president talking about the cattle industry, and markets definitely saw a reaction to that today.
Yeah, there are two sets of headlines out today impacting the markets. And one I'm fully supportive of Trump on, and the other I'm saying, and what is he thinking? And the cattle comments are the latter. And I've been fielding a lot of questions from reporters on that. And basically, he's attacking the cattle farmer for not lowering prices and for being upset. I think he's reacting to the emotions he's feeling from the cattle industry for talking about increasing imports from Argentina. And that reaction is creating more problems. Now, first of all, when it comes to Argentina, Argentina doesn't have enough surplus beef to make much of a difference in the U.S. market. I don't think we should be worrying too much about that. And what they do have surplus for exporting, much of that goes to China, and China's going to try to bid that away from us if at all possible. So I don't think Argentina is a big threat. Now, if you take off the 50% tariffs from Brazil, that might be a totally different story. But his post today about how cattle ranchers need to lower the price for beef and that they're just experiencing good prices today because of his tariffs, so that's pretty unfounded. First of all, we've had high cattle prices long before he applied tariffs because we have a tight supply of cattle. We've got the lowest number of cattle in the United States that we've had in 74 years. And demand, though, is very strong in the United States for beef. We've got a good product, and today's consumer wants protein in their diet. That's the current fad. And while the 50% tariffs on Brazilian beef are contributing to the higher prices in the United States, that's just a piece of the puzzle, and that is not the main cause. The main cause is the lower numbers and the strong demand that we have in the United States overall. Secretary Rawlins is expected to announce today a plan for increasing domestic production of cattle, and that certainly was another factor in the markets today, causing some of the speculative funds holding large, long positions to liquidate those positions or a portion of those positions. But I frankly don't know what she could announce that would be bearish for near-term supply cattle, because anything to increase the supply has to involve increasing the breeding herd. And there are many things that she can do, but most of them increase the demand for cattle and decrease the supply that's available in the near term in order to be slaughtered and probably add further to the near-term cost of beef. The other thing that I would add was that President Trump needs to take a class in economics. He seems to understand that when it comes to steel and aluminum tariffs, that you have to raise the domestic price of steel and aluminum in order to incentivize expansion of the steel and aluminum industry in the United States for national security reasons. But you can't cut the price of beef and expect to expand the production of beef. And that's where I think his economics lesson is in well order.
You know, and it's really rare to see, and this coming from a comment that was just shared with me on X, is it's really rare to see a president take credit for high food prices affecting consumers.
Well, it's not rare for President Trump to try to take credit for something, but you're right. He's been talking about needing to get the price of beef down to help pull inflation down, but at the same time, he's taking credit for high beef prices. So that's kind of a conflicting message.
So look at the other headline that everybody is talking about, and that's what's going to happen with China. Will there be a meeting next week? Will there not? As you had talked earlier to your folks in your email, there's a huge meeting that's going on right now in China that might set the stage to how things may or may not go next week.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, Trump made headlines today with a story coming out that he's considering blocking exports or putting very high tariffs on the exports, in addition to his 100% additional tariffs that he promised for November 1. talking about blocking the sale of any worldwide products using U.S. software going to China. And that could include a number of different things, anywhere from our typical electronics that we think, even to jet engines type thing. That could be a significant hit on China. Why is he doing all this? He's reacting to the rare earth minerals and magnets ban, export ban by China, stated on October 9th. And so that's a big issue right now. Now, you mentioned the meetings going on this week. That's the fourth plenum meeting. That's a five-year planning meeting where the Chinese Communist Party sets their goals and objectives for the next 5 years, 2026 to 2030. But it's more than just a strategic planning retreat. It is the political event held every 5 years for the Communist Party of China. And so this is the event at which people lose leadership positions if it feels like, if the party feels like they're not measuring up to the role they need. Sometimes their role is changed, maybe to better fit where their skills are, to try to meet those objectives, or to make room for someone else to do what they don't feel, you know, the party doesn't feel like they're doing well enough. It can even include President Xi being replaced, although we don't see any signs of that. We think he's probably secure in his position, but that's not guaranteed. But we think he's pretty sound in that position at this point. But it also gives President Xi a good feel for the strength of his power base within China, because China's economy is facing significant problems. And so is his power base staying with him on this or not? And if he feels like it is not, then he may want a quick deal with Trump next week in order to ease the international problems so that he can focus on the domestic problems. But if he feels like his power base is solid, then he may simply tell President Trump, take a hike, we're not going to meet, because he feels like he's got the Trump card with his rare earth minerals export ban. That rare earth minerals and magnets ban essentially allows him to pick which economies in the world are able to be able to thrive by producing consumer goods and other products, as well as defense weapons to protect themselves, and which countries will not be able to produce and manufacture goods for their economy, and which will not be able to produce defense weapons to protect themselves. That's the Trump card that China holds. So if he feels like his power base is secure, he may simply say, I'm going to sit on that Trump card. I'll suffer the pain of what President Trump's going to do, because we think President Trump is only a short timer relative to how long he'll be around.
So one final question for you, Arlen, is government's not back in business yet. There's a chance they won't be in next week. What does that mean to November WASD and not having another report 2 months in a row?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because we've never had a government shutdown result in the cancellation of back-to-back WASD reports. It's never happened before. The October report is essentially not going to happen. So what about the November? We think, well, that's still quite a ways away. But when you look at all the work that has to go into collecting data for the production estimates for that report, as well as accumulating the surveys, the farmer surveys, et cetera, that go into that report, and development of their balance sheets, we're quickly running out of time to put that November report together in time to be released on November 10th. So if we're at the first of next week and the government's still shut down, I think the odds are very high that we will at least see a delay of the November WASD report. And if it delays, the government stays closed much longer, we could actually see a cancellation of that November WASD report. I would anticipate, if that's the case, that they would plan on doing all of that work to update production estimates for the December WASD report, when USD typically doesn't do anything on the production side. They just look at the demand side domestically. So I think they would probably make some changes for that. But that's pure speculation at this point, what WASD would do. I would hope that they wouldn't make us wait until January to update some of that critical data.
All right. Great comments today coming from Arlen Suderman. A quick reminder that commodity futures options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Wednesday Market Wrap-Up on the American Ag Network.